Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are of course going to be talking about the biggest drop in Tesla's history, not quite as fun as the biggest gain in Tesla's history that we had a couple weeks back, but we will spend some time talking about the stock, and then we do have kind of a smattering of other news. We've got updates from Hertz, a couple of pieces of news from Tesla in Canada, some updates from Ford and Volkswagen, and some things that we weren't able to get to yesterday. All right, so Tesla today, not great. Finishing down 12% to $1,023.50. The NASDAQ was down 0.6%. Tesla actually dropped $139 today, losing almost $150 billion worth of market cap. So I was curious, and yes, this is the biggest dollar drop in Tesla's history. I've sorted those here, actually just looking at the biggest move either way, so sorting by absolute value. And this is by far and away the biggest move, though obviously from a percent perspective, this would be in sort of the 99th percentile of percentage change moves, but still only 44th overall. With this huge drop, the obvious question is, okay, did Elon actually end up selling his stock today? And we won't know for sure for a couple of days, but we might be able to get a hint of that if we look at the volume, which was actually quite high today. 58 million shares, as you can see in the table. And if we look at a volume chart year to date, we can see that that is a relatively high volume amount for Tesla so far this year. It's actually the 10th highest volume day year to date. And if we zoom in a bit here, we can look at volume just since Q3 earnings. And we can see that even though generally volume trails off a little bit after earnings, this was another spike. So my hunch is that Elon did at least begin selling shares today. We already know that he had planned to. Elon is a pretty decisive person, so I don't think he's going to really let this linger out there for too long. The longer he waits, the longer the uncertainty can tend to suppress the stock, because if people are even wondering about if Elon sold today, well, if he didn't, then people are just going to wait and wonder if this is going to happen again when he does eventually sell. Elon might not care too much about that. We talked yesterday about how it probably does actually benefit him more to have a higher share price when he does exercise and sell this lot. But at this stage, it might be more beneficial for Tesla to have a lower share price because that could be greater incentive for acquiring talent. But at the same time, if Elon just kind of lets this linger out there, well, it doesn't reflect necessarily positively for investors or potentially even future employees, just because it is a bit suppressive. So I do think that Elon probably at least started selling today. Again, we had 58 million shares traded. My estimate is that Elon is going to sell all of this package, so it's about 23 million shares. And based on the volume, I wouldn't be too surprised if that did happen entirely today. I say we'll know in a couple days for sure, because Elon and Tesla will have to file a Form 4 with the SEC disclosing any sale, and that has to happen within 2 days of the sale. So if and when that is filed, that'll show up on Tesla's investor relations page. And when that happens, that relieves some pressure on the stock. We may even see that come later tonight. Generally, that would be posted after extended hours trading ends, so around 8 p.m. Eastern time. Again, though, even if there was selling today, that Form 4 could come on Thursday. That's why we kind of say maybe a partial sale today, continued tomorrow, because that doesn't change anything from a filing perspective, but does give you a bigger window to execute the trades. So I'd like to hope that we get the Form 4 tonight, and that'll clear out the uncertainty. If not, might be another tough day tomorrow, and we'll be keeping a keen eye out either way for that filing on Thursday. Just for clarification too, I'm not bothered by this drop at all. I think it's just because of what's going on with Elon, and this is pretty much short-term noise, and I think we talked about why it all makes sense yesterday. So to me, it's really just a rough patch that needs to get cleared, and then we'll get back to being excited about what's going on with the business like we were talking about yesterday with Shanghai. All right, next up is something I just want to catch up on quick because it got lost in the shuffle of my notes yesterday, but the $1 trillion infrastructure bill did end up passing last Friday. So again, this is separate from the budget reconciliation, which does have the electric vehicle tax credit changes. Democrats have kind of always been talking about passing these two things in tandem, but looks like they're now getting split up a bit. Calls for a Congressional Budget Office review of the costs of that budget have been granted. So it's going to take a couple more weeks here. Looks like they may be trying to pass that by November 20th. So we should hear a little bit more about that next week. The infrastructure bill does contain $7.5 billion for EV charging, though. I'm not sure exactly how that is structured, but I'll try to figure that out at some point, too. Next, we've got a couple of updates on Hertz. They have now relisted on the NASDAQ as of today. So basically a re-initial public offering. This can be a bit confusing because shares of Hertz have been being traded. They just haven't been being traded on the NASDAQ. It's been on an over-the-counter smaller exchange. So this is getting Hertz back on the market, and they did raise some capital from this re-IPO. Anyway, as a part of this, they did have some press going on. So they had a Hertz branded Model 3 in Manhattan. There was also a pretty lengthy interview today on Bloomberg TV with the investors that have brought Hertz back out of bankruptcy, the interim CEO, and Tom Brady, who's obviously in the ads. And he actually did a really good job talking about the Hertz and Tesla tie-up deal, and he's owned a Tesla for 4 years. So that was kind of interesting, a little bit more involved than you would typically see from a celebrity endorser. But anyway, what I thought was kind of interesting was one of the comments that one of the investors made towards the end of this interview, so I'm going to play that clip here.
And if you look at what we've created here, it's an opportunity of a business that creates actual cash flow in the near term, and we can transform hundreds of thousands of vehicles and electrify them. Not just that, but turn them into robo-taxis. Our offer, we believe, to Uber creates better opportunities for Uber drivers. And we've got all kinds of things in the pipe. Not only that, but, you know, the rental car experience has been the same for 50 years, and we're going to try to automate that rental car experience so that when you get to the airport, you just show up, hold your phone to the car, and go.
So kind of interesting to hear how Hertz is thinking about this. Obviously, we've talked about the robo-taxi angle before, but I really liked what he said there at the end about just being able to get in the car and go. And I'm not sure that you'd be able to pull that off with a vehicle that has less technology available to it than a Tesla vehicle does. And that can actually help cut out a lot of overhead, so money that Hertz would be spending on overhead can then go into actually purchasing the vehicle here. I haven't rented a car from a rental company for a long time. I usually just use Turo, so maybe I'm not fully up to date, and maybe that's something that others offer. If anyone has any insight on that, let me know. All right, next we've got an update on hardware, and this is for older vehicles, Model S and X vehicles built prior to September 2017 that have purchased full self-driving. So not a huge chunk of cars here, but those vehicles are now eligible for camera replacements for FSD. Tesla now starting to invite customers for service appointments for that replacement. Specifically to upgrade those older cameras, anything past 2017 or any Model 3s don't need any upgrade here. So this might not seem like the most important news, but I think it highlights how upgradable Tesla has designed this to be. Looks like they're replacing 7 of the 8 cameras, and they say that the service appointment should only take up to an hour to complete and can be done with mobile service. So it just highlights that if Tesla ever does feel like they need to upgrade the cameras on newer vehicles or they need to upgrade the full self-driving computer, we've seen them do that as well, that they fully have the capability of doing that in a very cost-effective way, certainly something that would be worth it for the value that it unlocks. Now, obviously, that would change a bit if they needed to add some hardware rather than just replace things, but hopefully that won't be the case. Next up, we've got a couple of updates on Tesla in Canada, first in Quebec, where the press office for the Minister of Economy and Innovation confirmed that the minister did meet with Tesla leaders during a trip to California in October to discuss potential opportunities between Tesla and Quebec, perhaps supply chain related. And the Journal of Montreal also reports that, quote, according to a government source, discussions between Tesla and Quebec City have progressed in recent months, end quote. Quebec recently announced plans to invest about $2 billion in the production of batteries, so obviously a tie-up with Tesla there could make some sense. The other Tesla Canada news is out of Toronto, where it's been announced that Tesla has set up a Tesla Toronto automation office, which, like we talked about last week when we highlighted the Tesla Canada recruiting video, we'll be working on obviously all sorts of automation things, but especially battery manufacturing equipment. Next, over the last few days, we've been getting some pretty interesting comments from other CEOs about Tesla. Obviously, we continue to hear from Volkswagen, that seems to be constant, but we're also hearing now from Ford, CEO Jim Farley kind of joining the chorus. The Detroit Free Press reporting on a presentation from Farley to 20,000 internal Ford employees. Per the recording that they saw and transcribed, Farley was kind of raving about Tesla, saying, quote, think about the value creation of Tesla right now. They have the resources, smart people. The Model 3 is now the best-selling vehicle in Europe. Not electric, flat out. It was the best-selling vehicle in the UK. Most months, it's the best-selling vehicle in California. Not just electric, but overall. If we're going to succeed, we can't ignore this competition anymore. Look at Tesla, why they are doing what they're doing, and what can we learn from them? First, they have a direct model. There's no one in between. They make it so easy. 3 or 4 clicks configuring the vehicle with not a lot of complexity to delivering it to the customer. Simple, non-negotiated pricing, a large reservation system, as well as remote service. Second, Tesla maximizes use of electrons in the vehicle. No one does it better than they do. Their customers pay less for a better battery. Third, the product itself is highly differentiated from the rest of the ICE field, and complexity is tiny compared to OEMs, end quote. So there is a lot of acknowledgement there, but it does almost feel like it's extracted out of a Tesla Daily podcast from like 2017 or 2018. I mean, Tesla investors have been kind of shouting this at anybody that would listen for years now. And while these points are accurate, they still only just scratch the surface of what Tesla is and where Tesla is going. It's not necessarily meant to be a knock on Farley. Again, the acknowledgement is really good. He doesn't necessarily need to get into all the nitty-gritty details in a talk like this, and that would probably be counterproductive. But that being said, I do remain unconvinced that they really fully grasp what is happening here. It's kind of like Volkswagen using what Tesla is doing today and saying that they need to get there with their updates in 2026. It's just not really taking into account that the Tesla that we see today is still very, very early stage. Again, not meant to be overly critical, that's just kind of the vibe that I get. Either way, pretty clearly there, Ford is acknowledging Tesla as a leader. As for Deese, despite some of the pushback, he continues to be vocal about the competition from Tesla. Electrek reporting that they have obtained a note from Deese to his management team, where he seems to be attempting to explain that focus. He says Tesla's been long appreciated for software, range, acceleration, but had problems with quality. Production was ridiculed. But, quote, our main competitor is learning fast. The quality is getting better. The customer feedback, more positive. And in Brandenburg, Tesla wants to build 500,000 cars with 7,000 people direct and indirect with an impressive productivity, expected 90 units per hour in one line, 10 hours per car, end quote. We've heard that from Deese before, and he says that in Zwickau, they're over 30 hours. They want to achieve 20 hours, and they originally started with a project target of 16 hours. So Deese seems to be one of the few people that is starting to understand that once Tesla does this, it changes everything for everybody, and that it changes very fast. He says, quote, even if I stop talking about Elon Musk, he's here to stay, revolutionizing our industry and quickly becoming more competitive. Then adding, quote, only those who understand and have an eye on the competition can win. Tesla is the benchmark today, and strong startups have entered our market from China, end quote. You can just kind of feel this turmoil starting to rise. All right, last item here, it looks like the Rivian IPO is expected tomorrow, Wednesday, November 10th, and it looks like they have upped their IPO price a little bit now into the $70 per share level. So we'd originally heard rumors around an $80 billion valuation, then some of the filings showed somewhere around $60. Now it looks like we're sort of in the middle there at around $70, and we'll see how it goes from there if and when Rivian does IPO tomorrow. That'll be under the ticker RIVN. But that is it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, November 10th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.